Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends through perspectives of hope in Jesus Christ. How did attending a women's Bible study at church in 1999 and hearing the guest speaker stir the heart of a woman named Teresa? So much so that she began volunteering immediately. What happened 6 months later that led to a commitment in being a patient advocate for over three decades? This is the story of Teresa Larkin, who believes that every baby in the womb is a person with a purpose and destiny ordained by God. We pause here at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Show is to share how the love of Jesus Christ makes a difference in the lives of people. I'm talking about the love of Jesus so strong that he died on the cross for your sins and mine. He was buried and rose again on the third day, offering God's hope, a hope that has touched and transformed the life of Teresa Larkin. Teresa Larkin is the executive director of Your Options Medical. She's been with Your Options Medical first as a volunteer since 1999. She graduated from Girls Latin School. Teresa, welcome to our show. Let's try that again. Teresa, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Dorchester as the oldest of nine children.
What was it like growing up in Dorchester and the oldest of nine?
Well, it was great. When I was growing up in the early 60s in Dorchester, everyone on our street had large families. So we were not unusual. As a matter of fact, my parents owned a two-family home, and we lived upstairs, and their tenants downstairs also had, they had seven children. So our neighborhood was full of large families, lots of children playing on the street, roaming, you know, playing. There were no cars, you know, back then, and it really was a delightful, delightful upbringing. I have to say my childhood was a blessing.
I feel like we're going to come back to this at some point, just that the buzz of family, the buzz of siblings. What do you think it did in you, being the oldest of nine?
Well, it gives me an excuse when I tell people that's why I'm so bossy, first of all. I loved having siblings. I still am very close. We're a very close family, even though many of us are scattered. Right now, I'm blessed. My parents are still alive. My dad's 91. My mom's 86. They live locally in Hingham. I have a brother and a sister who are still here, but my other siblings live across the country. But one thing that we've learned is that nothing can keep us apart. So we love each other dearly. We still are very, very close, and I'm very close to my parents. So family, I was born into a family that really loved each other, really looked out for each other, and put a high priority on the meaning and value of family.
Teresa, that's beautiful. What is your mom and dad's name? What are their names?
My dad's name is Ed, and my mom's Marie. They currently are living the good life at Linden Pond in Hingham after many years of, you know, owning their home and dealing with being homeowners. We finally sort of convinced them about 4 years ago to sell our family home that we had lived in all those years, 60 years, I think, something, and to move to Linden Pond, which they absolutely love. They're very involved. They're engaged. They go swimming. They go to dinner with different family and friends. They play cards. So it's really a blessing to be able to see them so happy.
A good life.
They are having the good life. Yes.
Who would you say, Teresa, influenced you most in your growing up years?
I would have to say my parents for sure. I have very unique relationships with each of them. So I totally understand the value of having a mom and a dad. My dad was the one that sort of was very curious about life and very willing to try things. He took us mountain climbing and hiking and to the theater, to the pops, to even, you know, anything that we could experience, mostly free experiences. He was great at finding discount tickets. He took me to my first Red Sox game, my first Patriots game. I have a very great relationship with him. We both are lovers of history. We would do historical. He's just as one of those men that saw life as exciting and exposed his children to that. Where my mom was very, very nurturing, very kind, nurturing is the best. She was just that wonderful mom, and she still is. And she just instilled in me a love for reading. And they were both people of faith. So most of all, they instilled a love of Jesus.
Say more about that. Your spiritual journey, your introduction to and walk mm-hmm. with Christ.
Well, I was raised Catholic. My parents, though, actually were born again in the charismatic movement in the 60s. So it was, when I say that, it was kind of different. They really fell in love with Jesus. And so we were raised in that environment where prayer was just always happening. I remember coming home sometimes and seeing my dad sitting there reading his Bible. They trusted God. He said, have that many children? My dad worked one job, and we always managed to make ends meet. My mom said my mom actually would tell stories about what she would call the magic drawer, where she'd put money in the drawer and say, God, you know how much we need. And she'd pull it out, and it would be exactly what was needed. They have so many miracles of provision. It's astounding to hear how God provided over and over, because part of it was their commitment to be family and be at home, and for my dad to not have to work two or three jobs, which many people in our neighborhood did. But they trusted God, and I saw that evidence my whole life of the testimonies. And maybe we were poor. I never felt like we were poor. We never missed a meal. I never not had a coat in the winter. And so we always, and my parents ascribed that to trusting God and knowing that God provided for them.
So when you talk about your faith journey, it really is about acts of faith mm-hmm. and seeing evidence of God working in and through faith, trusting,
absolutely.
Providing, guiding. What were key moments, in addition to that, the magic drawer, mm-hmm. as it were, in your spiritual formation that shaped your commitment to saving lives?
Well, probably the most important thing that was probably one of the most impactful things in my life that happened was when Roe v. Wade was signed into law. I think I was 12. 13, my mother said to me, and I know it was me and probably just one or two other siblings that were probably age appropriate, and said, something really terrible happened in our country today. They signed into law this ability for people to take the lives of unborn babies. I want you to know that if you ever found yourself in a situation where you were pregnant and you were scared, please do not have an abortion. Do not do this thing. Come to me and your dad, and we will help you. So what that did for me was it gave me direction. It gave me a place of saying an awareness of what was happening and why I should be against it because immediately I thought, you know, of all my siblings and thinking, wow, what if someone's in a tough, like, which one would, whose life should have been taken so that we could have a better life? You know, that's how I viewed it, that there's not one of my siblings whose life I would have seen worthy of being sacrificed so that maybe we could have had an easier life or a little bit more. And it put, but it also told me, we will help you. And so what that, but it formed in me a foundational principle, so that even as I got older and I went off to, you know, I was in high school, just a little bit more sheltered back then. There was really didn't hear much about people getting pregnant or, but even in college, it was a foundational principle for me that I just knew where I stood on that issue. I wasn't persuaded by what was happening in the culture. I wasn't persuaded at all. I knew in my soul and in my spirit that life began at conception and that it was to be protected and it was to be valued and it was a gift from God.
What stirred in your heart, Teresa, at that Bible study in 1999?
Well, it was around that time. I was also had a blessing to be a stay-at-home mom. I have three children. They're adults, 37, 35, 34. and I'm recently widowed. My husband passed away. It'll be 3 years in April, but he also felt the same way that I did as we were raising our children. I was able to stay home. He worked, I stayed home. And then as they got older, I started working part, you know, but I was at this Bible study and I had been praying for the Lord to, where would you have me spend my time now as it's opening up? You know, my kids are getting older. I want to do something meaningful and valuable for you. And this woman came, Linda, I still remember, we're actually still friends. She lives in Oregon. She's in her 80s. But we still talk every few months. But she came to this Bible study and shared about, at the time it was called A Woman's Concern, how they were getting ready to open a center in Revere. And it was about helping women who found themselves in unplanned pregnancies, who needed help and needed support. And that's what their purpose was. And it just seemed so, I just couldn't escape it. You know, it wasn't like, oh, that's like nice. You know, maybe I'll do that. It just really spoke to something deep in my heart. And I, even though I had always been pro-life, I wasn't, I guess you'd call a pro-life activist. You know, I didn't go outside of abortion clinics and protest. I didn't do that type of thing. I just knew in my heart that I was pro-life. And it spoke to me. And I think it was back to what my mom had said was, don't do this. We will help you. And so that kept coming back to me, like, we will help you. And one of the things that so many fail to see in the life issue is that's what our aim. It's not just to save the baby, which is very important, but to help a mother do that. That's really, we can't save the baby, only the mother can. And so it spoke to me that this was the approach that this ministry took, was helping women. And that really just spoke to my heart.
Deep in my heart is what Teresa Larkin says, as the opportunity came back decades ago and something stirred inside and she took action, starting as a volunteer. She's the executive director now of the Women's Concern, has now become Your Options Medical. You can find out more at youroptionsma.org. Teresa Larkin will be back as we continue this conversation about her journey and also the intersection of her journey and the journeys of young women who come to the crossroads in their own lives and have to make a decision. When we come back from our break, more from Teresa Larkin. The mission of Your Options Medical is to engage with life-honoring services, embrace with life-giving truth, and empower with life-changing support. Again, youroptionsma.org. more Heart to Heart with you with Teresa Larkin. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Well, what happens when you have to make a decision that involves not only your life, but the life of someone else? Where do you go? You say, "Danny, well, I'm hearing you say this. What are you talking about?" Well, I'm speaking more about when it comes to a woman who has to make a decision about a pregnancy, wherever that pregnancy, however that pregnancy started and what were the surrounding circumstances around it, where does one go to find help? Well, Teresa Larkin was warned by her parents. This wasn't a warning that was to put fear in her, but it was a warning, an awareness given to her, I should say, it's even better way put, to be aware of how she could respond. And it settled her in a way that not only gave her a conviction and the value of human life, but what to do. It created a way for process, a way for help. And she continues to work in that way, Teresa Larkin, as the executive director of Your Options Medical. In fact, you can find out more about Your Options Medical. You could partner with them, find out more about the organization at partnersofyam.org. Again, partnersofyam.org. Tell us the story, Teresa, of your first, one of your first clients, Bella.
Bella was probably, I still think about her a lot. She was so precious to me. When I first became involved, what I first would start to do is mostly do assisting. You know, I did a lot of, back in the day, we would literally even sometimes drive our patients to their doctor's appointments, or they didn't have cars. And so Bella was someone that I really connected to in a lot of different ways. She was very struggling a lot with making her decision. I remember taking Bella to appointments and interviews at a few different maternity homes. She had nowhere to go. In order for Bella to continue the pregnancy, she had to leave the person, the father of the baby, the man that she was living with. So that left her with nowhere to go. And so we had to find places for her to stay. An incredible woman came forward. Here's again the power of the church, right? Incredible woman who had raised 12 children, had this big home, and said, "I'm looking to be a service, to be a help for anyone that could use a safe place to stay." And so she was able to move in there, where she ended up staying there for 2 years. It was a great blessing. It was my first real experience of seeing the hardship that someone who's facing an unplanned pregnancy with no support, has to deal with. Sometimes people say, well, you're naive. You had a large family. You have friends. You have help. You know, it would be easy for you to have a baby. But what about single people? What about other people? You know, that it's not so easy for them. But when you see the body of Christ at work, it should be easy. You know, it should be easy because there are many, many people who want to do that, who want to help if they just know. It may not be opening your home to someone, but maybe it is. Maybe you're someone that's just like that older woman that said, I've got space, I've got room, I can take in a mom to help her choose life and have her family and get off to a good start. So I actually even was in the delivery room when she gave birth and kept in touch with her for years and years. And sadly, she passed away about a year ago. But her daughter is thriving and doing incredibly well as a junior in college.
A junior in college. What is her name?
The daughter's name is Liana.
Well, thank God for that woman who stepped in.
Yes.
That woman who gave of herself. And there are people today, even someone listening, perhaps, that the Lord may whisper in their heart, you have room, as you said. Mm-hmm. You have resources. You have space in this season of your life.
Amen.
Is that for a purpose? Is God whispering to you, nudging you, prompting you? How does Your Options Medical provide women with life-changing options?
The first thing, and one of the main reasons why we changed our name as well and we went to Your Options Medical is, and I've been able to see the transition for the 30 years or over 25 years that I've been involved from, like I said, from when I first started. We just had to put an ad in the Yellow Pages and women would find us. You know, we just, women could come, they found us. It was much simpler. Now we have so many different challenges of how even find women or how the view of abortion has changed over 25 years, the access to it, the ease of it, the just the sort of lack of even people within the church being willing to confront it. And so we have so many different obstacles. So everything is based on search engines and Google. And one of the groups that we worked with said the medical provider is something that will appeal to young people today. That will appeal to this generation, is the fact that you're professional. You can provide these services. As opposed to back when I first started, it was very relational. We would form very relational with our patients. Now it's a little bit more difficult. It's the texting generation. It's the generation that has hard times, you know, talking to people and building relationships. So the fact that we provided ultrasounds and medical services with nurses is something that gives them a sense of kind of calm about coming in, or a confidence to come in and talk to us that is important. So the first step that we would do is every person meets first with an advocate, which is something that I did. I don't do it as much as I used to because I have other responsibilities, but I still welcome any opportunity I can to jump in that counseling room and meets with the advocate to just get a sense of what are they thinking, what's going on in their life, what's happening. And then a nurse, they'll meet with a nurse who will provide a pregnancy test and an ultrasound. The advocate's part of that whole role. If a woman comes in and she wants her boyfriend with her, or her mother, or her sister, or her friend, she's always invited to do that at some point during the ultrasound process. And then the advocate meets with the woman again. What we find is after the ultrasound makes such an impact, such an incredible impact, that's when a woman's heart tends to be softened.
Say more about the ultrasound and why a woman's heart is softened.
Well, I think for a lot of reasons, women aren't aware of the gestational age, what the fetal development, what's really happening, what's going on. You know, there's this lack of information, frankly. You know, they're told, oh, it's nothing. It's just cells and tissue. And you know, they use words like it's just an unwanted pregnancy that can get, be getting rid of. But when you have an ultrasound and you see that it's a baby and there's a beating heart as early as 6 weeks, 3 days, it causes a woman to say, wow, that's not what I was expecting to see. That's not what I thought I would see. By 8 weeks, 9 weeks, you can see legs and arms, and it surprises them, and it changes them from making a head decision a lot to now I've seen, and now my heart might be telling me to make a different decision. And that's what we usually see in the ultrasound room, is this sort of heart move from, wow, this is the decision that I have to make. This is what I'm making my decision about. It involves another life.
You've been able to see over the years the changes in technology, the ability to now see with great clarity and vividness the life inside the womb. In what ways are your options medical constantly innovating?
We are constantly innovating in order to meet the needs of what does our patient look like? Who's the person that we need to reach? Who's the woman that needs our services? How much more medical services can we add? What's the need? Where's the gap? Where's the need that we can provide? So as a nonprofit, we can't adapt or innovate as frequently or as quickly as we would like to, given financial restraints, but we trust God and we move and respond as God puts in our heart different ways to go. We're always trying to stay ahead. You know, we currently have plans in place right now to, this is cutting edge, so maybe someone's list is to add nurse practitioners so that we can increase our services, maybe even add early prenatal visits to really help that person who's made a decision for life be able to keep that decision. Because sometimes what happens is once they get back out and the world starts telling them, what are you doing? Why are you having this baby? You can't do that. They can change. And if they go to a medical service provider who's not as, you know, solid on that, it's sort of like, oh, well, if you change your mind, that's fine too. We want to be able to help that person be able to know that if she made a decision for life, that she's supported in that. So we're looking to expand to maybe even first early prenatal visits and some other ways that nurse practitioners could offer other services to help that woman go a little farther in her journey with us so that she does feel supported. She doesn't feel attacked for her decision. She doesn't feel pressured to make a different decision if that's not what she wants to do.
More conversation, more information, more engagement. You might say, hey, I want to learn more about this. This is not only intriguing to me, it's compelling. I'm being drawn in. How can I find out more? How can I support this? How can I be a part of your options medical? Well, partnersofyam.org, that's where you go to get in touch with Teresa and her team, partnersofyam.org. When we come back, we'll talk about, well, the overturn of Roe v. Wade. We trace back. Roe v. Wade was a pivotal moment in the life of Teresa Larkin. As a youngster, something marked in her heart. Her parents, those around her, said this is a very serious moment. And then recently, the overturn. More from Teresa Larkin, sharing heart to heart with you. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found. It won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
So the decision to become medically licensed had a tremendous impact in the pro-life arena and propelled Your Options Medical to be a leader in the cause for life, not only in Massachusetts, but nationally. Adapting to changes in the abortion industry while remaining faithful and uncompromising on the core principle of the sanctity of life has been the driving factor in the strategic decisions the ministry's leaders have implemented. You're listening to the Good Life radio program. Hey, look, if you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment. Look, you can get this program in its entirety. It's a podcast. Go to Spotify, Apple, or any major podcast platform. It's available for you there. To find out more about the ministry, our ministry, drdanny.live, and Your Options Medical, partners of yom.org. Teresa, where were you when you heard the news of the overturning of Roe v. Wade?
I actually was babysitting for my pastor's three children. So I do a lot of babysitting for families. And my phone started blowing up. Did you hear that it was overturned? So it was a moment I'll never forget, for sure. I was surprised at how emotional I was. I'm getting emotional now. I just broke down in tears and praise that that day had finally come. That mostly I looked at it as a spiritual stain on our nation, that the legal right to do that was finally looked at as there is no legal right, there is no constitutional right. Our rights come from God, and God protects life, and God is for life, and God sustains life. And so it was an incredible moment of joy and thanksgiving, and just so to give glory to God that he was going to reign in that area, that his mercy was still there, but that it was a recognition that life was going to be protected in this country again.
There is a concert of listeners who resound with you. There is a chorus. Someone might be asking, listening to a podcast, but Teresa, what about a woman's right to choose? What do you say? How do you respond?
Well, the way I've always felt as well is that they use language that if you really pull it apart, doesn't make sense. Because when they say a woman's right to choose, my body, my choice, it's not her body. We need to substitute what she's making the choice about, use the right word. It's her baby, my choice. Because the baby is a unique, entirely separate person who, yes, may be residing in a woman's body for a short period of time, but it is definitely not her body that she's making a decision about. We really need to say, does a woman have the right to choose what happens to her baby? Because this is something that's already in existence. This is not, this is post-conception. And it's also it's like every baby has a mom and a dad. There's a father involved that should be involved in that decision as well. And I know that's another unpopular thing, but that's the truth, that that baby in the womb has a mother and has a father. So it can't be logically or even reasonably up to the woman to make a decision about a baby. So that's, I think, has always been something that's been twisted. It's my baby, my choice. Do you think that women should have a right to determine what happens to their baby?
I'm going to ask one more on this line of questions. We can go on and on. It could be its own show.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a debate. I'm just pressing in a little bit because someone might be asking, well, what about, you say there's a father. Well, what if the father, you know, this pregnancy was unplanned. The father, it might involve even a dastardly deed,
mm-hmm,
that caused the conception of the child. What then? This woman doesn't even want to see or have a relationship with the quote-unquote father.
Right. Well, first of all, what most people don't know, and here's something that's, no matter how you feel, you need to know, over 97% of abortions are called elective abortions or selected abortions. Only about 3% of abortions combined, 3% combined, are a result of rape or the health of the mother. In some relationships, yes, there may be a father that's not a good guy. Maybe he isn't. But in the vast majority, that's not the case. And so if you look at, if the woman decides to have the baby and raise a child on her own, the father is required to pay child support. If a woman decides to release a child for adoption, the father has to sign off and agree to the adoption. But if the woman wants an abortion and the father doesn't, the father has no rights. And we see very often that it's the man that doesn't want the abortion. But he has no right to fight for his own child. So it's a very, you know, it's another area that people don't have to really think about. You know, it's, there are cases where maybe the guy is not a great guy, but that's not really the prevalent cases anymore. It may be, you know, that, and we see that, unfortunately, that many men want their baby, but they have no right to fight for it.
Thank you for engaging a bit on that. What challenges have you faced since the overturning of Roe v. Wade?
Well, we were very surprised that we were at the vitriol, I guess, that was launched immediately upon pregnancy centers throughout the country and here in Massachusetts. Our Revere Center was graffitied twice, once with the tagline from Jane's Revenge called, "If abortions aren't safe, neither are you." We were tagged with the Antifa symbol. We had protesters putting posters on our windows and our doors. It was very shocking to us, even in the press, to be called fake clinics and liars and deceivers. And it really took us back. We did not expect that at all. And so it's been very challenging. It's really been challenging because Massachusetts is one of the most, I guess they call it the most friendly abortion states. We have some of the most liberal abortion laws in the country. And so you can get an abortion pretty much, you know, well into, almost into your third trimester, frankly, well through the second. And so there are very few restrictions. But the vitriol and the anger against pregnancy centers seems to have come out of nowhere. And we're still trying to wrap our brain around it. Like, why? Why would you be opposed to women who want to come, who are undecided, who look for help, who are interested in their options? Why would you think that's a bad thing? Why would you want to shut that down? And frankly, we're still asking those questions because we don't really understand.
Well, and you did speak. I read an article there for WBUR. You said, "I can't speak to what other centers do. I can only say what we do. And that is to Help Women. You're listening to Teresa Larkin. She's the executive director of Your Options Medical. Teresa, are there new initiatives being implemented?
For pregnancy centers or?
For Your Options Medical.
We're continuing to look at how we can best respond to, for people to understand. So this is a great opportunity that you've given me to be able to educate the public about what pregnancy centers actually do and who we are and how we help women, and to just make more of a public awareness of why they're essential, why we're needed, why it's important for a woman to know that she does have options, she does have choices, there is support for her, and to explore that we hear too often that, oh, I didn't even know you existed, you know. Well, you're the best kept secret. We don't want to be the best kept secret. We want every person, especially believers, to know that we're here. We're here to help women, to help families, and we get opportunities. People want us to come to different locations, to open centers in different communities in the state. So we always are willing to entertain that and see where the Lord would lead us.
Let's go a little further. How has the change from the social work model to being more medically minded been?
Again, it speaks to today's generation of people where even unplanned pregnancies and women having maybe obstacles in their lives, they're very savvy about how to find resources. So back in the day before there was Google and all kinds of things, it was really difficult for them to know where there were food pantries or where there were social services available. And so finding practical support for them was really important because for many women, that was the determining factor. If I have help, if I have money, if I have health insurance, if I have support, I'll probably continue this pregnancy. But if I don't get any of that, I'm really in a tough situation. That really isn't as much the case anymore. It's more of this, and I'm trying to find the right way to phrase it, which I'm sure as believers, none of us are shocked at. There's more of a, I don't even want to use the word callousness, but more of an acceptance of abortion as an option where you don't really even think about it as something that should be a problem. And so we have to come across to them to see that it is a life. That's why the medical is so important. And then we can help them. We still help them with social work, but they can find it. You know, it's so different now. They know how to get their support. They know how to get help. And so that's why it's changed a little bit, is that the medical is the way to reach them. That's what they need to know.
Teresa Larkin is very bold about saying, we don't want to be the best kept secret. We want to be known. We want you to know that we exist, Your Options Medical, and we want you to know that we want to serve you. We want to serve your family. We want to serve your friends. We want to serve you. And if you want to partner with Your Options Medical, we'll go to partnersofyom.org. Partnersofyom.org. Now, Teresa, if they go to partnersofyom.org and they want to find out about the actual services, maybe they have someone that wants to go to one of the clinics, one of the locations that you have, can they find it from partnersofyom.org?
They can link to the website that you gave earlier, is youroptionsma.org. That's where a patient could find us to be able to find and make an appointment. But if you're on Partners of Yom, you could link
to it.
Link to the other
okay.
one.
Well, let's go to break. When we come back, future plans. Future plans of Your Options Medical. Dear friend, as you're listening today, did you know that over 4,000 people have been born because of the supporters of Your Options Medical? Locations are in Revere, Fall River, Sturbridge, and Brookline. We have the executive director of Your Options Medical in studio with us today. Her name is Teresa Larkin. In our last segment, we'll share more, the future, and some time of prayer. Stay with us.
Swing the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath. beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you on. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me.
This is Danny Yamashiro. Don Pick Benson wrote, "When I was growing up, my dad was a farmer, not a Christian. He had little interest in faith, having been told by his father that the Bible was a fairy tale. But then a local pastor took an interest in my dad, asking if he could help plow the fields on the weekend. That one act of service spoke louder than words ever could to my dad. By his actions, the pastor made my dad feel loved, and that did more than any preaching could have. He didn't need convincing about the theological correctness of the Bible. He needed to feel God's love for him. This pastor met that need in a practical way, and that's evangelism." For more inspiration on evangelism, go to drdanny.live.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Danny and experience the good life today.
Pastor David Hill says, "I support your options, medical, because our staff and volunteers do full-time what I can do only part-time. Help women in need choose life and find the practical care and support they require in a time of great need. All done in the name and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Pastor David Hill is speaking of Your Options Medical. You can find out more at partnersofyam.org. Teresa, you've talked about options being given to women who are pregnant. What about women who have abortions? Is there a way that Your Options Medical helps to address, maybe provide support, comfort, some healing post-abortion?
Yes, we actually do. One of the things that we do also provide is called a post-abortion support. We have a couple of counselors who are specifically trained to work with women that have had abortions. There's a number of ways we do that. One of the most beautiful ways is through a Bible study called Forgiven and Set Free. And it's a 10-week Bible study that can be done. Usually it's done in a group, and you don't have to have been a patient of ours. Most of our post-abortion healing is done in the church, because many women, you know, have had an abortion. And then maybe they've come to Christ, or God, as he does in all of our lives through the sanctification process, that kind of peeling the onion, he starts saying, "Let's deal with this, let's deal with this." And that's what I love about it. It's not only called Forgiven, but Set Free, that you can know that God has forgiven you when you seek and ask for him to forgive you and repent. But you also can be set free from the shame, the guilt, you know, that beating yourself up, trying to relive that decision. It can really be very painful for women. So it's an incredible, beautiful experience to go through a Forgiven and Set Free Bible study with other women that share your experience and want the same thing you want to be set free from the pain and the memory of an abortion decision that they may have made. I went to a closing ceremony for one of the programs recently, and one woman had had her abortion 30 years ago, another 10 years ago, and I think the third one had had it 6 years ago. So it can be whenever the abortion experience is reminded for you to find forgiveness. It's never too late. It's never too late.
Never too late. Someone wants to participate and sign up for and go through this study. How might they do that?
They could even find that information on partnersofyam.org. There's a specific section of it that's called Hope Rising is the name of our post-abortion study. And there's also on the homepage of that, and it will link you to the person that will contact you. It can be everything's very confidential. So it's not like once you decide to do this, you have to make it known. It can be a very, very private, confidential, and personal experience for every woman. The other thing is, even if we do have women that choose abortion, you know, that will come receive our services, and yet they ultimately do choose abortion. We're there for them as well. If they struggle, sometimes they're just like, oh, I can't believe I made that decision. It's okay. We're here for you. We can help you. They just want to go through with someone that cares, like the experience that they had. And if they have other children, if they have needs, we help them too. It's not like, oh, you had an abortion, we're not going to help you. You know, we help them too. We actually do. We did a Christmas drive of toys and things for our moms. And we called the woman that some of the women we know had abortions, but they had other children, and said, hey, we'd love to bless you and your family at Christmas. You know, it's about showing the love of Christ. Whatever the decision they made, we want to love them.
Showing the love of Christ and sharing the love of Christ. You've talked about your personal relationship with the Lord over the years. As you've grown, mm-hmm. as you've seen God working through your Options Medical, the lives that have been touched, as you step back for a moment of reflection, what do you see?
Well, that's a big question. I just see God in all of it. I see Jesus in all of it. I see Jesus in his faithfulness, his mercy, his goodness. I see how every woman that walks in the door, somehow his Holy Spirit is present. You know, no matter what it is, it's a powerful thing to know that God is there. God is with you. I've seen his direction. We've seen his mercy, provision time and time again. You know, when we've looked and said, how are we going to even make our bills? How are we going to pay? He's come through. He's raised up people. My faith walk has just grown tremendously. The more that I just submit to how he wants me to behave in my life and how I are to treat others, just being an opportunity to be his hands and feet. We talk to every woman that comes through. It's the other thing that we do is we ask every woman what her faith, does she have a faith? Does she have a faith perspective? Does she believe in anything? And over the years, I've seen a dramatic drop in women saying, no, I don't believe in anything. I don't believe in God. I don't have a faith, which gives us an incredible opportunity to share, you know, would you like to hear about Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? And sometimes we're given incredible opportunities to literally share the gospel with people who are desperate or lost, who've never heard it, or some that were raised, you know, will hear, oh, I was raised in a Christian home, but I don't believe anymore. To say, why not? You know, what happened in your life that caused you to walk away? Some don't want to hear anything, and we respect that. But we also never miss an opportunity to share Jesus with the women that we see.
I want us to spend a moment in prayer. I'd like to ask you to pray. But as you look ahead, in one word, what do you see for the future of your Options Medical?
I'm hopeful. I have hope. I have hope.
In that vein, please pray for our listeners and for someone today who may be touched and moved because of the ministry that you represent, your Options Medical, please.
Lord, we're just so grateful. I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to share about your options today with anyone who is listening. Lord, we know that you are a God of all hope. And so, Lord, if there's anyone listening today who has lost hope in what they may want to do and maybe in a situation that seems hopeless, Father God, we just pray that you would direct them our way. For anyone who may be struggling with an abortion decision, please, Lord, open their door to their heart and let them find us. For those that may have have heard for the first time the words that other people struggle with an abortion decision, that they would find hope in healing. And for those that may have never even considered what it means to be pro-life, that have sort of not considered it, have not made it important, that they too would understand that God is calling them. This is on our watch. God is calling all of us to stand for life and for his goodness and for his mercy. So, Lord, I bless your name today. I praise your name, and I thank you for this opportunity.
We do. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Teresa Larkin, thank you for being with us today. I appreciate you sharing your precious time, your heart. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hope-filled words from Teresa Larkin, partnersofyom.org. My friend, God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, I believe this might be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to drdanny.live for next steps. Find resources to reach family and friends. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or any major podcast platform. Proverbs 31, verse 8, speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Teresa Larkin, partnersofyom.org. Until next time, along with my producer and creative director, Brian Torres, social media director, Luke Yamashiro, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.